Hello and welcome back to Things Your Pastor Should Be Preaching. Before we get started, it bears repeating that the King James Version of the Bible is the truth of His Word. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Every other book masquerading as God's word has been changed to suit various demographics who call good evil and evil good and is thereby false. God is unchanging. God's word is unchanging. God's word is His voice, and therefore, adding to or taking from God's word makes it no longer His word, but man's word. Also, Jesus Christ is God. He is part of the Godhead, the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The only person who was born, given as a son, justified in the Spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory, and called the Prince of Peace, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to change gears here, and I downloaded the Charles Spurgeon Study Bible from the App Store. Charles Spurgeon is known as the Prince of Preachers. He was a strong figure in the Reformed Baptist tradition. He believed that God communicates knowledge of himself to people through the Word of God. People are not able to know anything about God except through this self-revelation. Speculation about anything which God has not revealed through His Word is not warranted. The knowledge people have of God is different from that which they have of anything else because God is infinite, and finite people are incapable of comprehending an infinite being. While the knowledge revealed by God to people is never incorrect, it is also never comprehensive. God's self-revelation is always through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Christ is the only mediator, Christ is the only mediator between God and people. Revelation of God through Christ comes through two basic channels. The first is creation and providence, which is God's creating and continuing to work in the world. This action of God gives everyone knowledge about God, but this knowledge is only sufficient to make people culpable for their sin. It does not include knowledge of the gospel. The second channel through which God reveals himself is redemption, which is the gospel of salvation. Amen. It is the gospel of salvation from condemnation, which is punishment for sin. The Word of God takes several forms. Jesus Christ himself is the Word incarnate. The prophecies about him said to be found in the Old Testament and the ministry of the apostles who saw him and communicated his message are also the Word of God. Further, the preaching of ministers about God is the very Word of God because God is considered to be speaking through them. God also speaks through human writers in the Bible, which is composed of texts set apart by God for self-revelation. revelation. The Bible as a uniquely important means by which God communicates with people. I'm sorry, let me say that again. The Bible is a uniquely important means by which God communicates with people. People gain knowledge of God from the Bible, which cannot be gained in any other way. So that's why I'm going to be sharing some things that Spurgeon says, because Spurgeon is the kind of pastor that preached on things that your pastor should be preaching, or that pastors should be preaching today. Spurgeon believed in preaching repentance from sin, salvation through Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He was the kind of preacher that spoke on things that pastors should be preaching today. And so today we're going to look at what Spurgeon had to say about Jeremiah 23. In Jeremiah chapter 23, the Lord himself is speaking, and the Lord is angry with so-called pastors and false prophets and false teachers. And in the very first verse, Jeremiah 23:1, it says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." What a dreadful woe this is upon all false shepherds, those who profess to be sent of God to instruct the people, but who are not sent of God at all, whose labors only result in scattering of the sheep and destroying them instead of gathering them unto Christ for their salvation. Jeremiah 23, verses 2 through 4. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. If the under-shepherds do not feed the flock, God himself will do it through the Holy Spirit." Amen. "For his own redeemed flock shall not be torn of wolves, nor left to perish in the lands whither they are driven. That great shepherd of the sheep will do what others fail to do, but this does not take away from them their responsibility. And it must be the most solemn responsibility that rests on moral man to profess to be a shepherd of souls, yet not to be sent of God." Oh my goodness, Lord Jesus, I have met innumerable people who do not go to church, who do not believe in God, who reject Jesus Christ and blame God because of false prophets and false teachers that they had bad experiences with. So I guess these are the kinds of people that God is talking about in Jeremiah chapter 23. So let's go down to Jeremiah 23, verses 7 through 8. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." Jeremiah 23:9, the Lord literally says, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing The land mourneth. The places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Spurgeon says it is an awful thing when wickedness abounds even in the house of God, and it is to be feared in many places. The church of the present day is not clear in this matter. So, what does the Lord say? The Lord says, wherefore, because they're evil and wicked and he has not sent them, wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria, though they prophesied in Baal and caused my people to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. Strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. There are all of them unto me as Sodom, and as the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profane is gone into all the land. When preachers are bad, who wonders that the people are worse? It's no wonder that the people are even worse because the preachers are bad. If the prophets go astray, how shall those who follow them find the right road? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophet that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. This is yet another mark of the false prophet. He always tries to smooth down the consequences of sin. In the future state, he says, sin may occasion some temporary inconvenience, but all things will come right sooner or later. This is a man sent of the devil. He is no servant of the living God. By these three tests, you may prove who are the false prophets. They make you vain. They speak out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of God. And they try to make it easy for you to sin by denying the greatness of the penalty attached to it. Okay, Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay. So let's continue on in Jeremiah 23. I mean, pretty much the whole chapter, the Lord is angry and speaking against these false prophets who refuse to rebuke people and speak out against sin, and who are basically soothsayers telling people whatever they want to hear, you know, so that people will follow them and give them money, because it's always about money. The love of money, the root of all evil. Jeremiah 23:32. The Lord says, behold, as in look and see, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Okay, so see how heavily God deals with false prophets. And he will deal with equal severity with any who preach or teach anything other than the gospel of his blessed Son, the pure revelation which is written in the Bible. God grant that none of us may be deceived by them for his dear Son's sake. Okay, so I'm going to skip over to another book of the Bible where it talks about rebuke, because rebuke is very important. People need to be rebuked. Sin needs to be pointed out as sin. You know, there is no excuse, or the only thing that can cause us to have our sins forgiven is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's just the way that it is. I know what I was gonna say. So, you know, a lot of people think that going to church is gonna save them, but it's not. You know, there are false teachers in the church, and you know, it's a works salvation thing, you know, but it's only through Jesus Christ. So let me find the verse on rebuke here that I want to read. Here we go. In Titus, in chapter 1, is talking about how the servant of God, or the bishop, or the pastor, or the leader of the church, that's the phrase I'm going to use, how the leader of the church should be. Okay? Now, it says, if any, Titus chapter 1, verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Notice that it said the husband of one wife. You can't be an adulterer. And it says the husband. It doesn't say the wife of one husband. It says the husband of one wife. God hath not ordained for women to preach. That is not God's order. Verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, not given to wine, can't be a drunkard, not given to filthy lucre, can't be doing things for money. Verse 8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Verse number 10, here we go. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Or that's a word that, you know, is in there for Christians or people who claim to be believers. It says that there are many of them that are deceivers and vain talkers. Verse 11, watch this. It says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. This witness is true. Verse number 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, what does God tell us to do? Rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. God says to rebuke people. God said to do it. It's not judging anybody. When you see somebody doing something wrong, you rebuke them. It's not judging. People always want to say, oh, you judge me. No, I'm not judging you, but God is. And God is perfect, and God is holy, and God is true. And that's that. It's God's rules. It's not my rules. And I know what they're trying to say when they say that I'm judging them. They're trying to say that I'm doing the same thing that they're doing, but I'm not anymore. There was a day when that statement would have been true. And during that day, I wouldn't have been saying anything to them because I would have been doing the same thing that they're doing. But I'm saved now. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit has done the work in my heart that causes me to not to want to live a life of debauchery and sin. So no, I don't live in fornication. No, I don't live in drunkenness. No, I don't have a desire to be a drug addict and get high. No, I don't live a life of lies and trying to manipulate people and run game on people. And you know, no, I'm not a hateful person. I don't get pleasure from seeing others suffer, because that's not the spirit of Christ in me. The spirit of Christ in me does not desire those things. So therefore, I don't seek to do those things. So no, I am not judging them. Either way, I'm not judging them. God is judging them. It's God's rules. God is the one that says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not live in fornication, thou shalt not live in adultery, don't be a drunkard, don't be a liar. You know, how is any of that stuff good? I mean, do they hear themselves? I don't understand. And I'm going to just go drop down to verse number 16. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, verse 15 and 16. We're still in Titus in chapter 1. Verse 15 and 16. Watch this. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled, and here's the key word, the action word. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, they do not believe. So because they don't believe in God, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. So they don't care to sin because they don't look at it as sin. They don't see it as sin because they don't believe in God. They profess that they know God, but watch this. But in their works, or the way that they live, they deny him, being abominable. They're hated and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. What does that mean? Let's see what reprobate means. Let's define reprobate. Let's see what it means. An unprincipled person. Okay, so they don't have any principles or morals. So when it comes to doing good, no, they don't have any principles or morals. They only seek to do evil and live a life of debauchery. And that does not come from the Lord. It just doesn't. So, I digress. I got off topic. I guess the point to this episode was to point out that not everyone that says that they are a Christian is a Christian. Okay? And it'll be obvious. So, you can hear from God through his word. If you want to hear from God, all you got to do is sincerely pray and ask the Lord to speak to you through his word. He speaks to people through his word. He doesn't necessarily, you don't have to go to church. You don't need a pastor. And they might not even be a real pastor. You don't know that person, you know. But people like to go to church because it's something that they can do, you know, and felt like they did something that was good. But it's not going to save them. Anyway, I digress again. So, not everyone that says they're a Christian is a Christian. And you don't have to listen to people who are false prophets. If you want to hear from God, all you got to do is pray and read the Bible. So, I'm going to close this out with a prayer that, you know, anybody out there listening, if you don't know Christ, you need to address that while you still have today, because tomorrow is not promised. So the Lord says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, Lord, you said that your word won't return unto you void. I pray that you have your own will and way in the hearts and in the minds of everyone that listens to this episode. for your glory, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.